With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And we are back. Eurobash 36.
Woo-hoo.
It's happening again. We're full of energy. We're trying to bring it up because we're both ill at the moment. So we need to cheer ourselves up for this one. How are you all doing? Here comes Niall. Niall, how are you?
I am great. I'm tired as fuck, but I'm trying to get through this. And we're happy. We're happy. We have loads of mixed martial arts the weekend. There's been loads of stuff going on. I've had about an hour of sleep and 48 hours. Woo! Game of Thrones to watch later
everything,
on.
Everything is happening.
It's all happening.
Can you feel the excitement in the room?
Boom.
People? Yeah.
Shaboom.
Right, let's hit these headlines. Darren Till and Leon Edwards are vying for a call-up to fight Robbie Lawler following Tyron Woodley's withdrawal from UFC Minneapolis. That happens on June 29th.
We're going to call him from now, Tyron Woodley.
What do you think of that, first of all? Are you surprised to see Till coming in?
Yeah, I want Darren. I've said this vocally. I want Darren.
You said it vocally. Well, that's the only way you can say
that. That is, yeah. I don't really think when I'm this hard. I want to see Tilly take a little bit of time off, and I want to see Darren go to 185 pounds, adjust the body as we've talked about a lot in the past. And I just feel uncomfortable returning after that head injury as well. It was a nasty, nasty knockout, one for the ages.
1 point KO, like, it's as bad as they get, really.
It is. And I'd love to see Darren go to 185, and I'd love to see Darren just get it right. Not jump back into anything. That's one I don't want to see at the moment.
Yeah, and especially like he's talking about 175, like he obviously can't make, you know, 170 on that short notice. So, yeah, like I tend to agree with you. I'd love to see Leon Edwards get that fight. I doubt he will though. Like this is the thing. Like I mean, like it's also Robbie Lawler. You're trying to get Robbie Lawler to be interested in a fight. This man's a legend, and you know I think that they're going to actually have
still, Peter. Enough hasn't been made of this. Why
I know
it really bugs me that Leon Edwards.
It infuriates me.
If it's any, you know, if it's a lot of other fighters, this is fights been made already. The UFC have really made a poor decision here. It's very disrespectful. Again, as Leon said before that fight, he felt he was disrespected by the promotion, and obviously we'll be hearing from him later on.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And you know, it's just disappointing. The UFC have had a massive opportunity there to promote a guy on this side of the pond, who's on a massive winning streak, taking out loads of the good guys in the division, and they failed to recognise it, failed to see it, failed to do it. Give him a fucking good fight.
I want that fight. Like, I think that's a perfect fight. I mean, Robbie Lawler is a former champion. As we talk about today with Leon, he just needs a fight now to bridge that gap into the title conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You have 7-fight win streak. You know, I won't ruin too much of it. We'll let Leon talk about it later, but I mean, every welterweight wants this fight.
Yeah.
Sergio Ponzinibbio, you know, there was every guy, really, there was Dos Santos.
Sergio.
Yeah.
Santiago.
Did I call him Sergio Ponzinibbio? Yeah. Jesus Christ, man. Yeah. yeah, but every welterweight wants it. I mean, do you think they will find an opponent for Robbie there?
Yeah, like, there's guys, you know, willing to step up and take it.
Yeah.
So, if Robbie doesn't want any of Leon Edwards, you know, it's a perfect fight. Robbie's been faltering a little bit, obviously, since he lost his world title. It just depends on what plans the UFC have for Leon Edwards. And for me, at the moment, they don't really seem to like Leon for some reason.
Yeah. I think it's massively disrespectful. Let's talk about what happened at KSW 49 very quickly. We'll get into it later, of course. Roberto Saldic successfully defends his welterweight crown with a first round one punch knockout of Christian Kajabowski. Scott Askham got a third round KO over Michael Materla in their rematch. He is now the KSW middleweight champion, and what a way he did it with that flying knee.
Unreal.
During the broadcast on KSW, KSW announced their 50th event, which will be in Wembley in London, September 14th. They've also said that DeFries, Askham, Narkoon, and Janikowski will be on that. We've also seen Chris Fields and Yannick Bahati verbally agree. I think that's a fight that that would add a lot to the event. Interesting there, for me, September 14th is the same day as UFC Amsterdam. So, I mean, that's going to be quite a day for European MMA, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
It's like, we've seen these UFC cards. They don't really bring it a lot for the European ones. Like, I mean, do they have chance of having like more interest with the diehard fans on the KSW card?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think we've seen that in Europe, and I think it's something that we've always said over the years, even when we're doing our old show, Talking Brawls, and we used to say, you know, the lack of real sort of star talent on these cards may have sort of damaged the market. And yeah. I think maybe it's catching up on the UFC now. As we saw the numbers at London, they were decent. Yeah. You know, Bellator seems to be taking a lot of the European fans here. It seems to be, the online traction certainly seems to be leaning towards Bellator, in my opinion. So yeah, maybe it is a case. And I think KSW, in terms of what they've done, the shows they put on, even in terms of production, the fights that we're getting, the matches that are being made, really, man, like, you can't really argue that why people are tuning in, because they're so exciting. You know, obviously.
It feels big. You know, like, they make it feel big. They make every event, this is a big thing that's happening here. And look, it's the 50th event, it's the milestone event. Like, they're going to pull out all the stops, aren't they?
They've done really well with the English fighters as well. And you're teeing that card up. You know, we obviously talk about Scott Ascombe, Phil De Vries, two world champions now from England.
And Norman as well,
obviously. Norman,
you know?
Yeah, from Norman was brilliant again the other night. Really polished grappling performance from Norman.
We'll get onto that later.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, listen, they're doing great things. Well done to Martin Lewandowski and what he's done with that promotion. And
Maciek Kowalski.
And Maciek. And you'll see a lot of Irish fans go over from that, a lot of Polish community here in Ireland, as we saw.
Sean Denny will be there.
Sean Denny will certainly be there. And obviously a big, you know, Polish community as well in London. And they had no problems more or less selling that out the last time as well. So the SSE Arena in Wembley, it's great stuff, great news.
Ross Pearson had a successful boxing debut on Wednesday, second round stoppage over Salar King. There's been an addition to the Bellator London card. It's Justin Burlinson, that undefeated prospect. He's going to take on Wandel Lewis. And I believe that, you know, Fabian Edwards seems to be saying he has a fight there, going for that as well.
Yeah,
I saw that
on Twitter. He was saying he had a fight as well. So that's interesting as well.
I've been trying to sniff around.
No one wants to fight him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing who it is. I hope it's someone decent. So what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know Tyrone Spong is boxing now. I was just having a look around today and he's 12-0.
Yeah.
As a boxer.
Deontay Wilder.
Just a blast in the past. I saw Rashad Evans has obviously been inducted into the Hall of Fame and they're good pals.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's Tyrone Spong up to? And I saw he's the world WBC Latino heavyweight champion.
He's European.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that man is from Europe.
Well, yeah.
But, right. This
Guyana,
is
it? Guyana.
Huh?
Suriname. That's where his family are from. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a huge community actually in
that's
in
Europe.
Yeah. We'll take that.
Claim anyone.
But, yeah, so let's get on to the first interview of the day. It's with Leon Edwards. Leon is pushing for that fight, as we say, to bridge the gap. He wants Robbie Lawler. He wants Rafael Dos Anjos. Man, just give him the fight. Give him a fight where he
can. Give him a fight.
Like, give him a good fight. You know? Come on. Like, this is like the third podcast where we've been doing
this. It's a piss take.
It's a joke. And the UK fans should be getting behind him. And I feel like they did. Do you know when he put out the thing to try and get, to obviously try and align himself with the Robbie Lawler? But I like that. I think there was a lot more energy behind that now. And even before he had tweeted that, I saw a lot of people saying, I want Edwards to fight him.
Yeah.
I think it solves the situation for the UFC. Because look, he's clearly pissed off. Like you can't keep doing this to the guy. Yeah. It's the same situation he was in after Cerrone.
100%. I totally agree with you. But like, you just go, what are their plans for him? It's just very weird. Yeah. Unless something's gone on that we don't know about.
I don't think it is. Like, he's not a guy to rock the boat even. Like, you know, he doesn't go crazy. He's like, but I don't know, man. I just hope he gets sorted out because it's a bit of a joke.
It's a fucking piss take.
Okay. It is. No, you're probably, well, look, and here's Leon Edwards. And as advertised, I am now joined by UK's top welterweight, of course, Mr. Leon Edwards. Leon, how are you? I've been dying to see what's going to happen with you after that Gunnar Nelson win. Any news?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. There's no news at the moment. I'm still pushing for a big fight. So I was hoping to step in for that Robbie Lawler fight, but I heard nothing yet. So I don't know.
Yeah, I saw you. You kind of putting your name in the hat, and a serious amount of traction you got there as well. I mean, when I thought about that fight, even before you had tweeted that, I saw so many people online saying this is the fight Leon needs to get him into that title mix. Is that what you see it as well?
Yeah, 100%. Robert is a former champion. He's a big name in the sport, so I felt going in there, dismantle Robbie, and I should have a title shot after that. But since the weekend, RDA, he went on and won, got a good win as well under his belt. So that'll be a good fight as well. So we'll wait and see what they come with.
Yeah, what did you think of that, Sanya? So, like, I mean, I knew it was going to be a close fight, but I felt like he was really, really good in there against Lee, right?
Yeah, it was good. He performed well, man. He's on a two loss skid. So to come back and to beat somebody like Lee, it proved a point. So he's a former world champion as well. So that'd be a good fight for me. I think he's ranked number four. So that'd be get him and then a title shot would be good.
It does feel like that is the situation you're in now. Like you could just be one off, right? Is that what you're seeing? You just need the guy to bridge the gap from there into the title conversation, right?
Exactly. I'm on a 7-fight win streak now, so I feel one more fight will put me 8-fight win streak, and I'll accept nothing else apart from a title shot. So I'll sit and wait. You know what I mean? So I believe after one more, I feel like a higher ranked opponent. I deserve a title shot.
You know, we talk about this an awful lot, and I don't want to put you on the spot about this or anything like that. But me and my co-host Niall McGrath, we speak about it every week. We feel like the UFC are absolutely disrespecting you. You know, like, I mean, the Masvidal and Askren situation, it's just, how did they not make that fight? You know, like, what else needs to happen for you to put a fight together? It's actually infuriating, you know, like, and Masvidal wouldn't even talk about it. It's like, dude, you can't do that to someone and then not actually get in the octagon with them. That's really how everybody over here feels, it seems, you know?
Yeah, exactly, brother. I feel exactly the same way. I feel that was a fight to make. He did what he did. He went running, and I feel that was a fight to make. I think the UFC actually offered him the fight, and then he turned it down. You know what I mean? So that shows what kind of pussy he is. And but his day will come, and I'll see him again.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, is it, like, when the UFC are speaking to you now, are they offering you those prime fights, or do you feel like they're still offering you guys, you know, that won't bridge that gap to the title that we saw?
Yeah, I feel they're offering a fight that won't even bridge the gap, you know what I mean? I think I'm one fight away, so for me now to go and take, like a random fight, that does nothing for me, nothing for my career, and so I feel I should get a top five opponent next, 100%, and then after that should be a title shot. Realistically, I should have title shot already.
Yeah.
I'm on a 7-fight win streak, the second most to the champion. So I feel I should have a title shot 8 already. So one more fight, then it's a title shot for me.
Do you have a preference when it comes to Lawler and Dos Anjos? Like, I mean, I think a lot of people got excited about the idea of you and Lawler, but does it even matter to you? Like, is there a fight you prefer there?
Not really. I probably prefer Dos Anjos because he's ranked number four, and he's a former world champion as well. So I probably prefer that fight if I had a choice. But it don't really matter to me. They're both big names, and I feel going out there and beating both men will put me in top contention.
Like, I saw like Darren Till coming out there and tweeting it as well, and obviously got a lot of traction. But I was like, surely they can't do this to Leon again. You know, they can't do
no
this
way.
Again.
he needs to go for a kid, go try to get his trim back. So I don't understand where he's coming from. He's on a 2-fight losing skid, got stopped both times. I don't feel like he's got no say in when he fights or where he fights. So I don't know where he came from.
But if you're Robbie Lawler, you might look at that and think that's like, you know, if he's coming off that knockout loss, maybe, like, you know, I have a better chance in here against a guy like Leon, who has just out grappled Gunnar Nelson. You know, like, it's just, do you see the sense in it that way? Like, I mean, these guys might think you're a trickier fight, you know, like, there's no, you're so well rounded. Do you think that is the problem? They're kind of going, like, I'm sacrificing so much against this guy who seems to be strong in all areas.
Yeah, exactly. I feel that's what they see as well. No, none of them want to lose. Robert Lawler probably got another 2 fights left in him. So I think he's probably picking his fights now and picking carefully. I'm dangerous. More than all these guys. I'm well rounded. I'm a great. I'm fucking one great best strikers, great best grapplers. I feel like I'm number one in this sport, and I just need to fight now just to prove my case. I'm going out there. I'm out grappling. Going and announcing them, going at them, I'm out striking Cowboy Cerrone. So I feel now I deserve the respect on my name. And I want one more fight. I'll be a world champion.
Does it excite you the fact that like it seems to be new guys coming into the division as well? Like you have Nate Diaz and Pettis there as well. Like there is exciting names, right? And when I see them names, I'm thinking about your situation. I'm like, this is what he needs. He needs a guy like this to go in there against and prove himself, and then that will launch him again. So there just seems to be more options going on at welterweight, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's more options now. There's guys moving up, guys moving down. So. There isn't more options, you know what I mean? So hopefully, I'm trying to see how the division plays out at the moment and then go from there. Like I said, I would have loved the Masvidal fight. That would have been great. But now everyone's matched up.
Yeah.
In top five. So I'm trying to see how the division plays out and then go from there, really. Cause I don't feel now a random fight would do nothing for me. So yeah, I feel, see how the division plays out. And pick from there.
Are you surprised they haven't got in touch with you yet? Like, I mean, like, are you surprised that you don't have a matchup yet? Were you anticipating after London, like, you know, we'll get straight back in there, we'll try and get a fight as soon as possible? Was that your plan, or were you happy?
That wasn't my plan. My plan was to go 3 or 4 times this year. I want to go in London. I want to go again in June, July. So that wasn't my plan. And I thought my sort of fight was a perfect fight to make after everything that happened backstage. And after I won the co-main, you won the main. I thought that was a perfect fight to make. But now they brought in Ben Askin. He's like one of the worst black strikers there is, and just threw him into top six. It's just a mad game, and it is what it is. And let's keep chipping away.
I feel like this has happened before. Like, I feel like this has happened to you so often, though. Like, I mean, after the Cerrone win as well, we were kind of in a similar situation. Like, why aren't we hearing something? Like, where is the fight? Like, is it getting to the stage now where you just don't even, you try not to think about it? Because I'm sure it's infuriating, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It is infuriating. And like you said, to be doing your job and being all these top guys, acclaimed top guys. And well, it does get to you sometimes, but I think you got to be focused on your main goal, which is to be a world champion. So that's what keeps me up every day and keep pushing every day. So my goal is to be a world champion, and I will be a world champion by the end of this year or early next year.
Yeah, but just with Kamaru Usman, Leon, you know, obviously we know it's been such a long time. It's the last defeat you have. You've completely transformed as a fighter now. I mean, do you often look back on that fight and think about how different it could be this time around?
Yeah, 100%. I've watched that fight many times and I've replayed it in my head many times. And I was a young man back then when me and him first fought. And I feel... Now I know that the fact that I can go out there and beat him, I've improved leaps and bounds since first fight competing against him. So I know I'll be a world champion soon after getting that rematch.
I got to ask you about Fabian's latest win. Impressive, and again the guy turned out to be you know, using PEDs.
Yeah,
it's crazy, right? I mean that was a pretty crazy finish. The up kick to standing KO. I mean.
Lovely.
Did you like that one yourself? I mean, what was the reaction to that?
That was lovely. to get free up kicks. it's amazing. So to go get free up kicks, then to finish him the way he finished him, it's good to see. He's a great talent, and I would love for him one day to join me into the UFC and to take over the UFC.
Yeah, I feel like he really can make a big wave over there in Bellator, right? Like, I feel like he's one of the best blue chip prospects we really have in the UK.
Yeah,
I feel 100%. Like after this London card, I mean, it seems like he has a fight on that. I feel like I really can't wait to see him go over to challenge the US guys. The guys at the top of that middleweight division in Bellator. Is that what you're looking forward to as well?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's got like a five-fight deal with Bellator. And I think he's going again in June, so that'd be like about 2 fights left of his contract. So I would like to think join me in the UFC, to be honest with you. So hopefully you can get the bouts in Bellator in them 5 fights and then join me in the UFC. I'd love for him. That'd be an amazing story to have me and my brother in the UFC smashing it up.
Yeah, it would be incredible. Like, and he could be one of those guys. Like, it feels like the guys that can go from Bellator to UFC, they have to be in that top percent, right? They have to be in that rarefied air. The very, very good guys, like the top of the food chain. Do you believe he is good enough to be one of those guys?
Yeah, 100%. He's a great talent. He works hard in the gym, and I believe right now he's one of the best
like you said, prospect they got in Bellator. There's no one else that I can think of coming up now in the Bellator that can do everything. He's a great grappler. He's a knockout power in anything he throws. And I 100% feel he could get a belt in Bellator or join me in the UFC. So he's a great talent.
Leon, thank you so much for your time. Just one more question before you go, and I know this is very annoying for me to constantly keep asking you about when you're going to be fighting, etc. But what do you think is most likely? Like, I mean, do you feel like either Lawler or Dos Anjos is the way this is going to go? Like, are you confident that they will give you that?
I'm not confident enough for the UFC. I feel like they've proven me wrong many times. I always thought I was going to get this is the fight. This is the fight. And They never do it, so I don't know. I'll go to Sweden next week. I think I'm gonna try and meet with Sean Shelby and try and see what he's got to offer and what he's saying and go from there. But apart from that, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
How are you going backwards in the rankings? That's what I don't understand. I feel like you were number 9 and now you're number 11. I'm how did that happen? He keeps winning.
I don't know. Like, the more I win, the more. More or less, I go ranked. It's like
it's crazy. I don't get it.
It's a weird game, bro. I think like 6 fighters above me, they're all on like back to back losses, and it's a mad game, bro. I don't know what to say.
You can't even make sense of it. What is going on here?
I don't know what to say.
Well, Leon, you're a gentleman. That you always give us plenty of time, and we really appreciate it, man. And I really, really hope we get some good news here soon, because I feel like the UK fans are getting pissed off at this stage, to be honest. I feel like people are genuinely going, like, what the hell is going on here, you know?
Exactly, bro. I'm the best fighter at the UK at the moment. There's no one else that can say that's better than me coming from the UK, you know what I mean? So we will see what the UFC comes with next, and we'll go from there.
All the best, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye. Great to hear from Leon there. I mean,
give him the fight.
It's annoying. We're just going to keep on saying the same thing if we don't move on. But Jesus Christ. Sort it out. Get the finger out, UFC. Right, let's take a look back at what happened over the weekend. It was an action-packed one. Another 24-hour shift for Petey. So Rafael Dos Anjos took a fourth round submission win over Kevin Lee in the main event of UFC Rochester. But let's talk about the only European we had in action that night, and a surprise defeat as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'll be completely honest. A lot of people, like, you know, I thought that Danny Roberts was going to go in there and teach this guy, like, basically just show a big gulf between him and Pereira. Because if you look at Pereira's record, look at the guys he's been facing, he's nowhere near as good as Danny Roberts. But look, we all saw what happened. Basically, Danny didn't put a glove on the guy. He was absolutely overwhelmed by this ridiculous style. It's fantastic to watch, don't get me wrong. Brilliant. An amazing debut. One of the most talked about debuts in recent memory.
Yeah.
But it was a bad KO. Like, and look, you talked about this last week.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're dead right. We've seen this 3 bad kind of losses we've seen now in terms of damage. Like if you want to go back through them, the Mike Perry in Manchester, which we talk about an awful lot in this show. We also talk about the Talib knockout, and now this one. And this one's bad, you know. What do you see for Danny going forward?
Listen, first and foremost, I hope Danny's okay.
Great guy. Like,
lovely guy, really friendly guy, very respectful guy. But when you're getting knocked out like that, 3 really bad knockouts in short succession, I'd just love to see Danny take a year out maybe and just get his head together, because, listen, your head can't be right after knockouts of that severity. Very worrying, concerning. I don't really know where Danny goes from here, because it's, you know, he's got no consistency in terms of putting a really good win streak together in the promotion. It's a tough one for me, and you know, he's not really getting on these European cards anymore either. He's sort of the UFC where they're placing him on sort of fight night cards in the US, and I don't really understand that logic as well from the UFC. I'd like to see him on the European cards. I would have preferred seeing him in Sweden, possibly in the summer. But yeah, it's something along the lines of what we talked about Darren Till a little bit earlier on. Take a little bit of time out, reassess what you're going to do, and then give it a go. You know, get that head together.
The size difference was
Yeah.
really notable. Like, I mean, that was probably the first, like, I mean, all up until this fight started, like all the way up until, I didn't really think there was going to be any trouble. But then just when I saw the size difference, I was like, oh, you can't let this guy hit you. Like, you know,
yeah, I think what happens with Danny sometimes, well, sorry for cutting over there. I think sometimes when he gets hit, he looks so technically good at times, but when he gets hit, it goes out the window.
I did feel like there was a certain time there where he got hit with a body shot and it hit him and it was good contact. And you kind of see him going like, hang on a second. Yeah, who is this guy?
That's what I mean. And it's reckless abandon. It goes out the window. Technique goes. And that's when he gets caught.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt again sort of watching the right. And Perry was the same. Exactly the same.
I even feel like the reason why he was there was because he was so pissed off with what happened with Claudio Silva in London. Yeah. And he was like, I'm just going to get back in here and get back to winning ways. And this is going to be like, you know, it's tough, man. This is the Hurk business. It really is. And, you know, my heart went out to him. You know,
he's such a lovely lad.
It's hard. You know what I mean? Like he's in a tough situation, as you said, and you know, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, maybe time to take some time off and reassess. And I hope he's okay. And I, you know,
yeah, it's tough to see that. And I think we sort of look at, you know, maybe along the lines of Cody Garbrandt, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know, in the fight, and it's something you need to address. I know a lot of fighters are like that. You know, Paul Felder, as we know well, very like that sometimes. And yeah, it seemed to be the case for me, but yeah, I'd just take a bit of time off, get the head together, and you know, 8 months, you know, I wouldn't be rushing back in there at all.
Let's just quickly comb through the card, right? Yeah. Kevin Lee did not make that big, impactful debut at welterweight. And look, we were saying last week, Dos Anjos is right there. He's right there on the verge of the title. He's number three in the division. In hindsight, was it a step too far from the UFC to match him straight away at the top of the division?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I think she should give him a fight or two beforehand, tune-up fights. But Kevin's that kind of guy, he wants to get right in there in the mix. But I just, with Kevin, you know, maybe, you know, I don't want to go out saying this, maybe, you know, everything that's sort of gone on in the last couple of years with Kevin, obviously, you know, his very, very close friend. I know we spent time with Kevin and Robert Follis.
I thought exactly the same thing.
Ever the same.
How do you replace the most central figure in your whole coaching staff? And 100%. Of course, you don't want to be talking about it all the time and creating that kind of negative energy around yourself.
But he's never really addressed it. He's never really addressed it. He said, you know, to the media, I remember before, I don't want to talk about this. Let's not talk about this. So, that could be an underlying issue for me, with Kevin. I just don't think we've seen the same Kevin since Robert passed, and maybe Kevin again, like we said with Donnie Roberts, go back to the drawing board, assess things, and maybe take a little bit of time out. I'd like to see Kevin take a little bit of time out.
Absolutely. Ian Heinisch continues to amaze me. Yeah. What a story this man is. Yes, he was in a Spanish prison, but no, he is not European. But what a fantastic...
No, we might as well claim him.
He spent enough time in Europe. If you spend over 2 weeks in Europe, you're basically one of us.
Thiago Silva is European now as well.
What an amazing run this guy has had. Cesar Muchanch, and now... Antonio Carlos Jr., who's shoe-faced, amazing fighter. Yeah. You know, obviously that Tom Breeze fight didn't happen, but wow, this guy is unbelievable. Like, I like after the first round, I was like, this is going to be a nightmare for him. And then somehow he found it within himself to do that. And I really feel like he is one of these guys that has such a tremendous self-belief that...
He's knocking on the door already.
Sound effects and all!
Nah, he is, man. You know, we talked about this division is one of those divisions. You put string two or three wins together.
Yeah.
Good name like that, you're right in the mix. I was impressed. Really polished performance. A guy you need to seriously watch out for in the coming months.
Felicia Spencer overwhelmed Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson is...
No surprise, I'm not...
Like, yeah, look, I know, but it's actually like, what the hell? Because like, if you remember before she came in, this is the only natural 145er. This is the only one that can take on Chris Herbert. She's a million miles away from that.
Million miles away. Even when she came in, and I've been quite vocal about this, she comes in and she just throws reckless abandon. You know, she keeps her
But like,
her
she looks so
down.
Good in Invicta. You know, how has it gone this way that, you know, this girl was a champion of Invicta. She comes up against another champion of Invicta the other night, and
it's just that the talent pool is not there at that weight class. And Felicia Spencer, as good as she was, you know, Megan Anderson, for me, I was not surprised at all. Leaves herself very open to a range of problems, and Felicia Spencer took full advantage and ultimately choked her out. And it was a very poor performance from Megan Anderson. We look back at the Katsingano fight, like that was a pure freak of a fight. You know, I don't even really
brilliant
give her.
KO.
I think Kat would have really damaged her that night if that.
Like, I mean, how do you think that fight would go if they did it again? Honestly, like
Kat and Megan, Kat would probably win within the end of the first round.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I'd love to see them run it back, but it probably won't now. But
I just feel like there's a missing ingredient there in that recipe. Like I feel like, I don't know, something's up. Vincente Luque overcame a quick surge from newcomer Derek Krantz, who set up on short notice to face him. Got the first round victory. He's on a great run at the moment. Fair play to Vincente. Charles Oliveira and Nick Lentz had their trilogy fight. Brilliant, man. Oliveira is just an animal, isn't
he? Just like to put together and
he's
improve.
He's 29 and he's been fighting for 56 years.
He's one of my favorite fighters. Yeah, 100 years he's been fighting for. He's brilliant, man. I love watching him. You always know how much I harp on about Charles.
Yeah.
And to improve his Muay Thai the way he has, and I think it was, what is his second ever UFC finish on the feet, in terms of finishing a guy with punches, I think it is. And to do it in such style, I know obviously Nick Lentz is a tough wrestler. Everyone thought it was going to be a submission, but Charles is sharpening up in the areas that he needs to sharpen up in.
So
we know how good,
man,
he is on the ground, just, man. I love watching this guy fighting. The glasses when he walks out as well, it's hilarious.
A blizzard of brutality.
He looks like one of those sort of potato men with the, you know, the hair. You grow the way, the curly hair and the glasses on. He's hilarious. Great guy and a really good fighter. There's a plenty of matches to make for him now.
Absolutely. Davy Ramos increases win streak to 4 with a decision win over Austin Hubbard. Looks very, very good. Aspen Ladd gets a decision win over Sahara Eubanks. Quite good showing from Aspen Ladd as well. And this is a crazy fight there in the last round. They just threw the footwork out the window and just went to school on each other, man. Yeah. It was mad.
That's the only thing, Aspen, now you'd like to see her maybe finish a few more fights. Really good though, really promising. 2021, whatever she is. Very marketable young lady as well, and definitely a lady that's going to challenge for that title.
You'd
next
imagine.
Year or two, definitely.
Dez Green gets a big hometown win over Charles Jourdain. We talked about Michael Pereira, Danny Roberts. Grant Dawson got a rear naked choke win over Mike Trezano. This was like the start of this card was all finishes. Like just
9. I think it equaled the UFC's record for this year.
Oh my God, man.
9 finishes.
It was crazy. Ed Herrmann. That was
short fuse.
Yeah, with the win over Patrick Cummins.
Patrick Cummins, man.
That fight buried on the undercard. Did not get that. Zach Cummins with a guillotine. What do they call this? They call it a club and sub. That's what I saw Bloody Elbow called it the other day. It's brilliant, yeah. I'd never heard of it. They were like, this is a common thing. I think they were talking to Andy Stevenson about it, like on Twitter. And I was like, I'd never heard that either. Yeah. Zach Cummins with the submission win over Trevor Giles. Julia Arca with a nasty head kick.
Nasty, wasn't it?
Just beautiful timing. Dick.
Poor El Julian.
Yeah, it's lovely.
He's always had a tough run, hasn't he?
He has indeed.
Poor fella.
Let's have a look at KSW 49. This card was absolutely savage. Absolutely savage.
Yeah, it was good.
It was brilliant. Saldich is an animal. What do you want me to say? He's cleared out that division as far as I'm concerned. That's the one problem now. Look, he got that first round win over Christian Kajabowski, and now KSW have to go and find someone to fight him for the title, because I don't see any natural guy that I'm like, oh, he's definitely next, you know?
From what I've seen of him, I think he will give anyone a major, major headache.
Yeah.
In the UFC.
Will we talk to him about that today?
In that,
you know,
division. Yeah. We're chatting to him in a bit. And I think, if you look at the way he fights as well, he's very, very tentative in the feet. He's always like that in his opening rounds. And the first clatter, you know, it could be lights out for anyone. But he's so clever and he's so pinpoint accurate in what he does. Anyone.
Led Christian in. Led Christian in.
Come on. And boom.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over.
He is the RoboCop, isn't he?
He's unreal, man.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Look. When I call a prospect of the year, you gotta check
flabbergasted.
Gotta check them out. Scott Askham's reborn with KSW. Unbelievable, man. I thought his striking was absolutely top class. We're gonna be talking to Scott later on as well. That flying knee, after being dropped in the second round, man, to come back and just the whole sequence.
But he was so calm when he even got dropped in the first round.
You knew he was fine.
Yeah.
Like when his back hit the ground, you were like, he's fine.
Yeah, he's grand. And he was very calculated in what he did to get out of that situation. And I wonder, maybe early on, we saw those body kicks which were absolutely lethal.
He was hitting them plenty with that body.
I think Materla could have cracked a rib or something then.
The first couple, yeah, the first couple.
If you look at
his
hand, the whole rest of the fight, he's protecting the rib, and that's where he ultimately gets caught.
Yeah.
When his hand is down, and I think Scott lands an uppercut on him, and it was, There was definitely something up there, I think, with that side, or maybe he was, you know, overly cautious of getting hit there. His arm was maybe hurt. There was definitely an injury there, as far as I'm concerned.
But British body snatcher.
Jesus, man, it was nasty. And it was, listen, fair play to Scott Askham, KSW champion now. Just phenomenal stuff. Like I wouldn't have seen this for Scott Askham, a year or two ago.
Well, like, we talked to him later on there, and he said what's the big difference is, like, he went to ATT and, you know, that's worked for people, it doesn't work for others. Yeah. But he said what it's done for him, it helped him so much mentally, because he was able to see, like, oh, yeah, I am able to do this. You know, I'm able to get in there with the best guys. I can do this. So it's great. It's great to see that. And look, the fact that KSW are investing in talent in the UK, it's paying off hugely for them. Like, you can feel there's far more of a vibrant situation when these fights are on. Grabowski is most likely going to fight De Vries now for the next, for the heavyweight title next. Obviously, Grabowski was in the UFC, had a horrible run there, but great win against Karol Bejdorf, man. For a guy of his age, unbelievable. Yeah. I think he shocked an awful lot of people with that win.
Yeah, he was very good. It was pretty nasty in the end. Got up on top of him, sort of raining elbows and shots and shit. Listen, he overcame the adversity as well. You know, it didn't looked like the fight was going his way in the early minutes of it, but a big win from a big dude that scares me.
Yeah, he's terrifying. Norman Park smothered Artur Zawinski.
I think we know what we're going to get with Norman now. Over his last 10 fights and his last 11 fights have all been decisions.
Man, but like, I have to say, his last two fights were absolutely epic. Well, I mean, Boris Mankowski and the Chilwicky one. I know, obviously the Miles Price was more to, like, this one where he's smothering a lot more. Like, he has that part of his game, but he had two brawls in KSW as well, man.
100%.
Like, I mean, what's more clever though? Like, I mean, what's the best way to win? Like, obviously not getting hit in the head.
Yeah, and I think that performance was, you know, pinpoint, really good fight IQ. The judo trips were excellent. And throughout the fight, did it the first, second, and obviously the third. And listen, you know, Norman was fantastic, and he should be really proud of himself after that one. It's a good one to possibly set up that trilogy with his good old pal, Matthias Gamrot.
Well, Gamrot seems like he's at an impasse now with KSW. They seem like he seems like to want to take a break. He's going to compete in the
I think he's too much power in that organization,
huh?
Gamrot. I think he calls shots for himself too often. It seems that way.
Well, what do you do? Like, he's huge celebrity. I know, unbeaten talent. Probably the best fighter in Europe in terms of his record. Huge following. I mean, what do they do?
They need to run back that Norman fight, though. The second
one. But also, at the same time, like, make the weight, Norman. Like, you can't be calling for a 55
That's
shot
true.
When you're making 163.
That's true. No, that is true. That is true. Yeah, that is true. I agree with you there.
Erko Yun, the battle of the influencers against Akop Stosak. Was over very quickly, 36 seconds.
Power, man. Holy
mother. He reminds me of you physically.
That power scared me again, like. Does he train with,
you?
Does he train with Solich?
Yes, he's UFD, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So UFD had a great night. They were the Solich, you had Erko Yun, you had Martin Zawada, and you had Anton Rakic. So, and moving on, yeah, Zawada and Thiago Silva. How? In the name of Jesus, is Thiago Silva
see
having
the color of him? He just changed. His color went from fake tan to like lobster.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
He somehow had his best round in the third round after being on the canvas.
Listen, it was crap technique. Like, but let's not lie. But it was a barn burner of a war. Two guys who were putting everything on the line.
I don't know if it was that bad. Jesus Christ.
Maybe not that bad, but it wasn't Thiago Silva.
I mean, Zavada's a very good boxer.
It wasn't the Thiago Silva we would have seen 6-7 years ago, when he was in the UFC, I don't think. And listen, I remember watching a fight, ACB, when he fought over there in front of 93 people, I think it was, in one of their LA shows.
One of those, the largest attendance they had.
His cardio just looked absolutely incredibly poor. Just knackered after 2 minutes. And he's obviously worked on that, you know, having that little bit of a resurgence in the second and third round. But really entertaining fight to watch. I can't complain.
Yeah, Anton Rakic got another split decision off Dublin-based fighter Pavel Politlio.
Phantom MMA, is it?
Michael Andrzak is in some serious trouble now, man. He's after losing to Luis Enrique. I know the stoppage, it was a bad stoppage, but he was fading. I don't think he was going to win that fight if they had to let it continue. Man, he was thought to be absolutely untouchable until Phil beat him. And now look at that.
His hand did sort of go limp from the angle he's looking.
Yeah, I understand, but again, it's kind of like the Chandler situation when he's fully awake, you're like, well, it's a bad stoppage, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and then there was Krakowski taking on Dubois in the first fight. Dubois was actually representing Switzerland instead of France.
That's right, yeah.
Because he wanted to protest their lack of making it legal in that fair country. Yeah, so, like, look, it was a very good card. I thought it delivered, it set up 50 well. We talked to Scott Askin, we talked to Roberto Soldic. One thing I think we need to clear up is there was a lot of talk about an incident that took place at the weigh-ins. I got some information off that. We spoke to Scott, I spoke to, Roberto. I've talked to some people from KSW. So basically, Christian Kajabowski, Roberto Soldic's opponent, is a fan of a football team. There's another football team in Dansk that are rivals.
There was a lot of football chanting going on as well.
Yeah, right. So the rivals to the team that Kajabowski supports, they tried to show up before the weigh-ins. The police stopped all of this because KSW were tipped off about it, so they got the police involved. The police got rid of them all, but unfortunately, while the weigh-in was going on, a few of them managed to break in. I think there was like a good few of them, you know? And when they broke in, they came in and they had like balaclavas on. They were covering their faces. They had like surgical masks and they were throwing pig trotters because there's some kind of song they sing. They chant to their team.
They were singing in the arena the other night. There was fans. There was football songs going around.
So they were throwing pig trotters and stuff. Now, probably a very scary situation at the time. Fortunately, nobody was hurt and it was kind of concealed. Everything was sorted out. Just to let you guys know about that, because there was a few things there online kind of that made it look like it could have been something else, you know? So, we talked to Scott and Roberto about it. You can get their sense of it. Like, I mean, one of these things, this happens in Poland. Like, there is these kind of, groups and stuff, and KSW always have to deal with it. But, like, I can remember when the UFC were over there. Remember they had to cancel one of the fights there?
That's right, yeah.
But then
it was two football teams.
Yeah, but the hooligans used that as like a PR thing then. Like,
of course.
We got the UFC. He's not making money because of us.
And it makes our sport look bad.
Yeah, so KSW are like, we're going to have to deal with this. Yeah, and look, I don't think you can look at it like a black mark on KSW at all. You know what I mean?
No.
These things happen. Yeah, so let's check out our first KSW champion of the day, because we got two of them. We'll go with the main event first, Mr. Roberto Soldic. For my money, one of the best young talents in all of MMA.
24 as well.
Yeah, unbelievable, scary man. A terrifying, terrifying man, but he's quite funny as well, as you'll hear. I'm trying to convince him to grow a mustache like Mirsad Bektic, but I don't think he likes the idea of it. So, yeah, check this out, and we'll be back in a minute. I am joined by one of the most talked about fighters in Europe, the KSW welterweight champion, who scored another amazing one-punch KO in the main event of KSW 49 over one of Poland's great prospects, Christian Kajabowski. It is none other than the RoboCop himself, Roberto Soldic. Congratulations, Roberto. What a win.
Thank you. Thank you.
I gotta say, man, everybody in the US is talking about you. So many of my colleagues are asking questions about you. Do you feel like this is your biggest win in terms of everybody seems to be talking about Roberto Soldic today?
I don't think so, because I fought with the toughest guy than Christian Kajabowski, and I respect him, you know. It's a good guy, strong puncher, dangerous, undefeated, 7-0, you know. But I was smarter, I'm faster, and right on the point, you know. He comes to me and I throw the left and he was out. So I didn't expect that, but I prepared for everything. So I'm not surprised. I believe in my box. I believe in my also wrestling jiu-jitsu. So yeah, another win for me. Now he's looking forward for next one.
Absolutely, and it was a very successful night for your gym, I believe. UFD, you guys went 4-0, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We train hard, really, and we give everything for this sport. So my friends also won last night. Was good performance of the year, Koyun. He also made good KO. Anton Racic, he made good decision. Our guy's really tough guy. And Martin Zawada against UFC veteran.
Wow, Martin Zawada. Wow.
Old school. old school MMA, just box, hard punches, throwing punches. Really, really amazing. Nice to watch this.
Does this motivate you when you're backstage and you're watching your teammates winning? Do you get fired up when you're watching them?
I don't like to watch before my fight because I don't know how the fight goes. You know, maybe someone can lose. You know, so right. I don't like. Yeah, I just listen music. I focus on myself, and then after I watch everything. And but before my fight, I just music. I just small talk. I just focus for me. You know,
what music do you listen to?
Yes, some like hip hop, you know, like always standard in my life, you know, nothing. I don't change anything. I do how I do like in the sparring, and it's normal day for me. Normal, a little bit pressure, that's good, but I don't feel any difference, you know. I do this every day, and
it's like repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. You know, one thing I'm worried about, Roberto, is you apparently had your best cut to 170 for this fight. I heard a lot of people at KSW saying you made 170 easier than ever. Is that correct?
Yes. I learned a lot from my lose about weight cutting, and I took some guys for some good
nutrition.
Yeah, for nutrition, and I learn a lot. So now, when I weight cutting, I do really with smile. I do really positive, so I don't have any trouble, and I feel great, full of energy. That's its point. So I learned that also in TriStar Gym. I made fight camp there, so a lot of people, high level people. I took some secrets, and I try to use. Something is good, something is not good for me. So always is good to try, you know.
The one thing I was saying, it's worrying, is because I thought you had cleared out the welterweight division. I don't see a guy that I think is the next contender for your title. Do you see a guy at 170 pounds in KSW that you believe should fight you for the title next?
Not now. I don't think so many opponents. But if KSW want to bring someone, they can bring. Why not?
I see.
But I will stay 170. People want to me. I make, I don't know, middleweight, but I don't like that move now. I just want to stay 170, defend my belt. Maybe catch weight if someone is big name or something like that. But my category is 170 for now, and I will stay there.
Right. And I got to ask, because you obviously got revenge over Dricus du Plessis for that loss you're referring to, about the weight cut issues you had before that fight. But are you disappointed that he has gone to middleweight and you can't fight him again? You know, because you guys are one each now. You could have a deciding fight.
Yeah, but I fought him in the rematch. Yes. I made the rematch. So he's done with welterweight. After my fight, he goes. I think I finish him my career in welterweight. You know, and he's tough also. But I made a really big mistake. But sometimes it's good before, you know, to make that. So school lesson is learned. Every school you must pay maybe. Pay with head, some pay with money, you know. But every school you must pay. So this is good lesson for me, a lot of experience. And I take this now serious every time. So this is no joke. I love my job, and I enjoy it. So
I think your relationship with the Polish fans is amazing, because usually, you know, the Polish fans, they support the Polish guys, and it's harder for the international fighters to become fan favorites. You seem to be really, really, you seem to have a fantastic relationship with the Polish fans. How do you feel about those guys? I mean, it seems to be a great bond you guys have with each other.
Yeah, they give me a lot of support and much respect, much love. So I'm also surprised about that, because I'm from
from Croatia, and it's hard to say what I did made, you know, for that. Mm. So, but people really, really support me, and maybe a reason is that I give good, great show. I don't know.
Yes, it must be. You are very good at giving the good shows.
Yeah, I always try to do my best, you know, and I looking forward for finish. I just want to like fight, and Polish people loves that, because Polish people is always like, I don't know, strong guys. They like this kind of sport, and MMA in Poland is really, really big sport here. After football, is they have a lot of respect of the KSW fighters, and a lot of support sponsors. They really good live here. Guys are amazing. Mm. Yeah.
I got to ask you, I heard there was a crazy scene at the weigh-ins when the supporters of a rival football team that Kajabowski supports, they showed up and they were throwing pig trotters at him and things like this. Was that an insane scene for you? It sounded crazy. I was speaking to some of the KSW staff about it.
Yeah, I was shocked, you know, because I didn't know what happened there, because I was in backstage and behind. And I just saw that they throw something, you know. I think that was, I don't know, beer, stones, you know. I think, oh, what's it now? You know, I think, yeah. Because everybody comes to me, hey, don't worry. This is not, how to say, this is from my opponent, his fans, you know. And it's going to be tough night for me, you know, because I don't know what happened. But
yes.
They was not for me. They was against my opponent, because he support another football team, and they later explain, you know. And now I get relaxed, you know. But before that, I was a little bit pressure, you know. It's not easy.
I'd say it was scary, man, and it didn't last that long, right? It was quite quick. It was towards the end, I heard, was it?
Yes. But many people, you know, you cannot do anything against 100 people. It's really, really
scary.
Scary. And some they sing something and crazy.
Yeah, somebody was telling me it's something about pigs that they sing, and then they throw the pig's feet.
Yes.
It's crazy.
But they also want, you know, marketing.
Yes.
They took the right time, and they want to do this, but nobody injured. That's very important.
Exactly. That is the most important thing. Yeah. And I got to say, okay, Roberto, so many U.S. fans were tuning in last night, and everybody is asking, you know, they keep on saying, you know, how do you think, they keep asking me, how do you think Roberto Saldich would get on in the UFC? And I think you would do incredibly well. I don't think there is a big difference between KSW and UFC fighters. I really don't. And how do you feel about that? You know, does that annoy you when people say, oh yeah, but how would he get on in the UFC? Does that frustrate you when people don't understand how high level KSW is?
Yeah, but UFC is, you know, it's number one in the world. It's every guy is there is high level. I mean, top 10 guys, you know, top 15. And it's sometimes it's hard to say. You see how finish these guys from ONE FC. They was also in UFC.
Yes.
So not every fighter, the best fighter in the world in UFC. So we have all outside UFC good fighters, but for me KSW is good. I like KSW, and I must stay for the long, so I don't think about UFC. I just focus on KSW. They take care of me, and really they give me support and everything. I'm champion here, so I enjoy here, and we'll see what future brings, you know.
Absolutely. And I love you being with KSW as well. I think it's a great match. But I wonder if hypothetically you could think about, do you think you could compete there? Do you think you could compete with the best guys in the UFC? I'm not saying we have to go there straight away, but right now, do you feel your ability would cross over to the UFC well?
Yeah, for sure. I believe that I can be really, in a short time, I can be top 10, for sure. I believe that because I made a really good spar with high-level guys.
Mm.
Yeah, and they had some troubles, really, against me, and they respect me after that. So I'm sure that I can.
I'm sure you can too. What is your plan now? Are you going home to Croatia for a while? Are you going to Canada? What is your plans?
Yeah, I want to go to Croatia for 2 weeks, like vacation, to see my family, my friends, and after that I will be in the gym. So yeah, maybe I will go again in TriStar gym, and I'm gonna train there, a lot of grappling there. So I growing up everywhere, but grappling is like number one there. You know, it's very good guys, high level BJJ class, and very nice to meet Biraz. Yeah.
Is it good to have Mirsad Bektic there, a guy from the same kind of area as you? I think you guys get on very well, right?
Yes, we are really good. And he's my like brother, you know. We every day, we spend every day coffee, training. It's good to have someone in another country, you know.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy, and he fight now against Josh Irmet.
Oh yes.
Yes. And will be a good fight. Tough, this Josh, tough, but I believe in Mirsad. He is really strong on the ground. The wrestling is amazing. I like him. Featherweight, really. He's now top 9, and we'll see.
No. Yes, he's just injuries has been unfortunate for him. Yeah. I believe he's one of the best in the world, you know?
Yeah, I believe that too, but sometime, you know, it's crazy, this injury. It's all sport, you know. It's hard sport, hard sparring, hard days sometimes, you know.
When are you going to grow a mustache like Mirsad?
Never. I show sometimes his old teacher, hey, he say to me, hey, what the fuck is this?
I think you should try for your next fight.
Yeah, maybe people say to that, but no, better shave.
So clean. So when are we going to see you again? Is it possible that you could be on the KSW 50 card in London, or do you think it will be later than that?
Maybe in London. I don't have any injuries, so 4 months till London, I have enough time. Well, we'll see who maybe you know who is opponent. I must thinking about that. So I have time, but maybe, you know. I really don't know what my manager will talk with Marty Lewandowski and Kavur, and we'll see, you know.
So all of the fans that listen to the show, Roberto wants you to tweet him with the name of the opponent he should fight next, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, you find him on Twitter. We'll make sure we'll share out your Twitter handle. And Roberto, thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure to watch you fight, my friend.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you.
Have a safe flight home, and thanks to Tommy, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Great to hear from Roberto Soldier, the RoboCop himself.
Beast.
Yeah, he's an animal. Look, we don't have any fights to preview this week, so we're just going to run through a few things.
Thank God.
Yeah. I need a day off.
Yeah, we need a weekend off now, MMA.
Yeah. So well, we were at the SBG Media Day last week.
We were?
Do you remember? We were?
Just about. Yeah, it was, I had a nightmare of a new camera set up, and it didn't really go to plan.
And yet the next day you were abusing me for my public microphone error.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course.
It happens to the best, was Petey. But yeah, That's a side address mic as well, you know that. You're supposed to like...
I know now.
Talk in the side.
You never told me that when you gave me that mic.
I did.
You absolutely
did. 100% did. I told you everything.
Let's talk...
everything you know and you fucking mocked it.
Let's talk about this media day. Answers from John. We got a bit of clarity on a few situations there. He says he doesn't work for Bellator, which we talked about for a long time, so we should probably put that at the very top. There's also he spoke about Emma. It seems like things are progressing there, man. Like to be honest.
At the weekend, so they passed a motion at the weekend at their EGM, their extraordinary general meeting. So I've looked at all this shite to learn it last week, but so basically the proposal they've put together for Sport Ireland to try and get recognition for the sport has been internally voted and passed by the membership board of IMA. So now it is got the green light to go ahead to be proposed to Sport Ireland in order to get the sport recognition, which is excellent. It's great news.
Also, I was speaking to Andy Ryan just yesterday, and he was telling me that they're doing great with this high performance unit. Like they're having these team sessions and everybody's going and it's brilliant. So that's good to see guys earning their place on the team. And he said like, look, it seems like on that end of things, it's getting a lot more organized. So all good things.
And I think Andy is, you know, Andy wanted to get away from the administrative side of it and, you know, on being on the, you know, on the board and doing the paperwork, and all that. Andy is very much a hands-on guy, as we know. And I think it's a great role for Andy. He's a great, there's a great aura about Andy when he's in the gym.
He's a great leader. Like, and he has also competed at a very high level in judo. Like he knows what it looks like to get a team together. He is at the very top of the sport in judo. So I mean, no better Buchel. And I know Paddy's helping him, Barry's helping him. So great.
Andy's a man a lot of people have respect for as well.
Because he would crush your soul if with you don't one of his massive arms.
He just look at you and he just kills me.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Yeah.
Let's talk about my microphone faux pas. Look, a lot of people won't notice, like everyone thinks that Sean is this creative, happy soul. He's actually a total prima donna. He showed up 2 minutes before we went live. I was like, Sean, is this microphone okay? He's like, shut your face, Paddy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start doing this now. Shut your stupid mouth. That's what Sean said. He's like, I don't give a fuck about your mic. That's what he said. Shut your mouth or I'm going to fly over to Ireland and beat the shit out of you. That's what he said.
I'll shut you. Watch your back.
So I was terrified. I'd never used a mic like this before. I was very worried about how the US public would embrace me or if they wouldn't embrace me. And Sean was like, you better not fuck this up. And I was like, oh no, man.
And he fucked it up.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You blew it out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
I warned Sean beforehand. I told him. So,
yeah.
Listen.
But that's just the truth about Sean.
Sean is evil, though.
Yeah. 100%. Man, can you not see it in the guy?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he just,
yeah, definitely.
He's like a devil. Like, you know, he's like possessed. His eyes are just pure evil.
He tries to be nice and then he's just.
Yeah. It's a facade. Like, he tries to act like Barney the dinosaur and he's actually a T-Rex. From Jurassic Park.
He is a T-Rex.
So that's completely Sean's fault. Make sure you get onto him and tweet to him and say, look, we heard Eurobash. PT gave us the full account. It's completely your fault. And, don't try and paint a different picture.
Sean, you want to watch yourself. Don't diss Piddling PT.
Piddling PT. Oh my God. I wish it was Piddling the other night.
Watch
man.
Yourself.
Bad food.
Wait, like catch you at the next event, El Shadi.
See the guns and El Shadi, actually.
I'm challenging to a fight right now. Oh right here in Europe.
He's blue belt jiu-jitsu, I think.
Ah, listen, I'm rugby ace. Crush him. You ain't seen a spike yet, lads.
Oh, I want to say a big happy birthday to Guilherme Cruz as well. My Brazilian friend, the one of the greats. I love that guy, man. Happy birthday to him. Yeah, legend. I forgot.
It's my birthday today.
Is it? It isn't, is it?
It is, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, 32.
That's not true.
Nah, it's not my birthday. Do you know my fucking birthday?
I don't know anyone's birthday, man. I just want to say, obviously we had K-Doc and all telling us that actually you can't review our podcast for some reason. So thanks for trying anyway, guys. I really appreciate that. Sorry for going rasher. I did not know that term before. I went rasher about that.
Never heard rasher.
No, going rasher.
Jesus. Must be never heard that. It's not a South Side thing.
It is, yeah. And, but like, lads, to be honest, we won't spend much time on this, but blown away by the numbers since we went on iTunes. I can't believe it.
iTunes is the shizzle.
It's, look, when we started this, I had like a pie in the sky number in my head, and I hope we'd get that per episode. Like, it's double that. Like, I just can't believe it. And, thanks so much. I'm blown away by it.
And we're really all a bunch of wankers before this. So
I hate these guys.
Sean Al Shadi part two here. They're as good as each other.
Do you think I'm kind of becoming a bit like Sean? Yeah. Like an absolute psychopath and then lovely on the microphone.
See the abuse I get. Jeez, I'm not even joking either.
But I think that's we've covered a few good ground there. We covered some ground just to because there's no previews to do. When
I think we better mention something as well that we've
worried.
Forgotten.
I'm worried because we're going off the menu here.
We're not going off. Well, a little bit off the menu, but it's not bad. It's still mixed martial arts. Sage Northcutt's knockout, man. Devil. That was another one you're just going. May take some time off, a lot of time, 8-9 breaks, I think, on his eye. 9-hour surgery, supposed to be 4 hours. Man, rough.
Young guy to be, you know.
That's what I mean. His age, dude. Not good. You know, I felt sorry for Sage as well. And, you know, people do give him shit, but the kid is super positive, and I genuinely hope he recovers.
Of course.
Just so nasty to see that for
like, first that's the hardest, bit. That's the toughest opponent he's ever faced. Like, you know, like they did not give him a softball, and that Deadspin article, Sage Northcutt loses his debut in the minor leagues. Shut your mouth, lads. Come on.
Don't have a clue.
That's clickbait as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's guarding in an audience, that they know they're gonna get, and they know they're gonna get a response out of. So listen, if you see articles like that, I wouldn't even just go near them. I'd just, dislike them if you can.
Well, I mean, I think it was good that everybody came out and said, look, this is wrong. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't even think the article got that many shares. It was more people just going like, this is wrong. Mm. This is terrible. How can you print this?
Yeah.
Which, and they're dead right about that. Let's have a word with, Scott Askham now, the KSW middleweight champion. The thing about Scott is, like, I had obviously after my crazy promo for KSW, I had a lot of US people on that, kind of getting onto me as they were watching this. And not a lot of people said this to me, but a minority, like about two people said to me, like, oh, what does it say about KSW when a guy that went 2-4 in the UFC is their champion? And I gotta say, man, go back and watch Scott's fights in the UFC. He's a different man now. I mean, I really believe that. I feel like he's completely different. And look, if you don't know who Michael Materla is, man, like Materla is one of the greats of that whole organization. He's a Polish legend. So I mean, just go back and have a think about this. Like he is a different fighter now, and he'll explain that in our interview. It was great to speak to him. A guy who won the middleweight title and then got straight on a plane home so he could be with his daughter on her birthday. Man, he is an absolute champ. And it's great to see this resurgence in him. And as we said already, great to see the English having such great times with KSW. So we'll go over to Scott now and we'll be back to wrap this baby up. I'm now joined by the newly crowned KSW middleweight champion. And it's a second victory for Scott Askham over Polish legend Michael Materla. And what a way to get it done with that flying knee in the third round. Scott, how are you, my friend? What a fantastic win.
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. I got back early yesterday morning, as you will have heard, inside the cage. It was my daughter's birthday, so family was away at the caravan. I met up with them, and I've just walked through the door now and back home. But feeling good.
That's amazing, man. I'd say that meant an awful lot to your daughter for you to get on a plane straight after that victory and come all the way home. I'd say that was amazing.
Yeah, I had a present to fetch for her, didn't I? So I promised it and I delivered.
Yes. You gave the gold belt straight to her, yeah?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's both my daughters. Put it straight around both my daughters and,
It's an amazing moment, man, and it's really, you've just been unbelievable under the KSW banner. But what I wanted to ask you first is, I mean, after the first fight just took a minute to get done, did you anticipate that this one would be longer this time around?
Yeah, there were no way that I could do better than the first fight, really.
Yes.
obviously, I landed the strike early. I got the job done. I know in the promotion he was saying that he's done his own work and this now, but I think you were referring to the liver kicks, because even some of the Polish fans started to believe that I just had liver kicks. I was seeing some comments like, oh, Scott only has liver kicks, blah, blah, this hour. And obviously they get talked about a lot about in the interviews as well, do you know what I mean? Like,
when you finish two fights like that, they are obviously going to get talked about. So I'm happy to show more in the game as well to the fans. I think they've got to see a bit of everything on the ground, my character, my art. Obviously, they knew the striking were good, but I got to see other strikes. But yeah, I still landed the liver kick. I know I would. I said this in interviews. He can know it's coming. That's no problem. He can know it's coming. I'm still going to land it. It's like Mirko Krop's eye kicks. They knew they were coming, but he still landed them. I threw that strike that many times. I just make it work for me.
Yeah, I mean, you were tattooing his body with that kick early on. Over the first, as long as the fight was going, I felt that was just one of the best shots as usual. It's just a fantastic body kick that you have there. I mean, I feel like you might have hit him 20 shots to the body in that fight.
Yeah, I still had a chance to watch the fight back. Yeah, obviously, I got straight back. I've been with family, but when I do get time, I will watch the fight back. But yeah, I do remember some point in the fight, very early, where I hit him with two brutal body shots, really, really, like, full power, landed clean. So yeah, credit to him. He still hung in there. And I knew it was going to take a lot to get him out of there. But he took a deep breath at the start of the third, and I was tired. I think a lot of people make the mistake between tired and gas. You can be tired as you want in there. There's a difference between tired and gas. I can work while I'm tired, and obviously I showed that in the third again. The combinations were still there. I started to miss most of his shots. I know I got caught in the second, but I wasn't really like rocked or dazed. I mean, I got caught, I got pulled me back, but I wasn't dazed or anything. I was still in there. But ultimately, I was confident I would finish him at some point. Yeah.
What a way to do it, man. Like, I mean, yeah. That knee is... Did you get to see the... Tell me you got to see the KO at least, because it's just crazy.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I see the KO, yeah. It was a nice sequence of strikes.
Yes.
That put us into this position. And obviously, I visualized it all backstage. I mean, like, there were so many strikes I've seen myself hitting them with. The flying knee wasn't actually one of them, but... It was there, and it was a nice KO. I think he's up there, one of my best KOs.
Yeah, has to be. But like, I mean, there was one thing I was asking. I interviewed Materla ahead of the fight, and I saw a tweet that Martin Lewandowski put out, and it's like he was kind of saying everybody thought that Scott Askham was just another can for Materla to crush before your first fight. Now you're the champion of the organization and you've finished every single opponent they've put in front of you. Does that feel good to you? And I really feel like you won over the Polish fans as well over there. I mean, this is amazing, right? Like, I mean, you must be proud of this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And like you say, I feel like a lot of people that do get took into Poland feel like that. Like you can to be crushed and to build their fighters. I mean, like, but I feel like... KSW themselves put belief in me from the start. It wasn't a one-fight deal that I signed on. You know what I mean, I signed on three fights, so I feel like they put some belief in me in that. I'm not saying they wanted me to win or anything. You know what I mean, like, obviously, the first fight, I would have believed they wanted Materla to win. Maybe they are not sure how they work. But yeah, I feel like I've really won the crowd over now. I feel like there's a lot on my side. They still back the Polish a lot more, which is obvious. They're going to do it. It's actually good to see. I like to see it. You know what I mean, like on the Polish fans are really good. You know what I mean, but Materla's a superstar over
legend,
there.
Legend, yeah, of course.
Yeah, when they do that, like the polls before the fight, you know, just the Instagram polls, before the last fight, 94% of people said that Materla would win the fight.
Jesus Christ.
So after this fight, it was still 80%. I mean, I'd won some over, but yeah. He's still got 80% of votes. So yeah, it was cracking. It was a cracking fight, man. He's Matilda's a true warrior, and I can see why the fans do love him. Do you know what I mean?
I knew
that it would be. I watched the fight end sequence, and he's still throwing strikes, big powerful strikes to try and finish the fight. He's got no quitting in whatsoever. And the first time we fought, he did the same. I hit him with the body shot, and he was crumpled up, and then he threw an overhand right. But I did expect that before I fought him. I did expect that. I'd also seen that when he fought Mohamed. He fought Mohamed Khalidov, and he was literally dancing on rocked legs. He couldn't even like stand up straight, but he tried his best to Khalidov with his powerful strike. So I know what type of fighter he was. He's a true warrior, and I'm sure they're back.
And like one thing I want to say as well is, like, I have so many, like, it felt like more than ever there was people from the US tuning in. They have that DAZN deal over there now, DAZN should I say, excuse me, but a lot of people from the US were tuning in, and there's this sentiment that was kind of by some, it was a very small minority of people were kind of saying, well, this guy, Scott Ascombe, he couldn't make it in the UFC, and he's the champion of this division. What does it say about the KSW? But for me, you're a completely different fighter now. Like, I mean, this, like, you got to agree with me here. Like, I mean, you look like a completely different guy when you're fighting these days. Is that how you feel about it too? Because I certainly feel that way.
I've just looked at the fight matrix rankings there. I'm ranked 18th in the world now. The only guy that I fought and lost to who is ranked above me is Jack Hermanson. Jack Hermanson's ranked 5th in the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm ranked against all the other guys that I lost to. And my results are speaking for themselves, you know what I mean? I've had 4 fights since losing the UFC. 3 of them have been by finish. And I've had performance at night bonuses, and I haven't received one for this one yet, but I'm
you better.
I will at least get knockout or fight of the night, maybe even both.
Yeah.
From what people say about the fight, so I've got performance of the night bonuses in each one of them fights. I've got fight of the night against Luke Barnett, 2 knockout of the night, and then I would have thought I'm looking at another knockout of the night for this one. So the UFC is impossible, but I thought UFC, I know I lost 2 in a row, and they're brutal with cutting people, do you know what I mean? I knew I was fighting for my job, and I fought and I lost a split decision and got rid of me, so I feel like it's their loss more than anyone's. That was my first fight under ATT as well, so...
Has that been a big difference, Scott, like going over there and training there?
Yeah, oh man, honestly, it's literally changed the game, honestly. Like, I'm a totally different fighter now. And it's the confidence is the massive thing. I mean, like, each fight I'm just building with confidence. Like, again, this fight more than any, I think my confidence is going to go through the roof, because it wasn't just me striking that one show Saturday night. You know what I mean? I showed good ground skills and everything. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm on my back most of the first round, but like, it was me attacking. You know what I mean? Like, on paper, I probably lost that round, which is a bit it's unfair to give me that final round as a loss. You know what I mean? Because
your elbows, everything.
I hit him with so many strikes, but that's the way fighting goes. But I was slapping. I get a good account of myself. Whereas in the UFC, I don't think I did get a good account of myself. I blame that a lot. Trying to focus on the rest of the game instead of my striking. You know what I mean? Like. I was trying to catch all the rest of the game up to my striking, and I neglected my striking, you know what I mean? And I'll never do that again. Some interviewers asked me, Matilda's talking about taking you down, are you going to work more on your ground this time? And I haven't, you know what I mean? Obviously, I've still done the groundwork, but I've been focusing on my striking, you know what I mean? Strike to strike, you start this fight standing. We started standing 5 times, we've been a 5-round fight, you know what I mean? So... it's not as easy to get someone to the mat, and it's even harder to hold on someone to the mat, do you know what I mean? So I always felt them opportunities come where I've been putting a volume of strike on him, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, a lot of people seem to be talking about Khalidov now. Like, I mean, surely that guy is the biggest middleweight legend KSW has ever had. Everyone's talking about that London card. Is that the ideal situation for you now, Khalidov in London?
I dream for that fight. Yeah, obviously London's on the rise. It'll be a quick turnaround again. Something I always like, a quick turnaround. I know it's Ramadan right now as we speak, so I don't know what sort of shape Khalidov's in, and whether that would be a possibility. I don't really know. We haven't spotted KSW yet, so I don't know. I know his team's been coming back, but yeah, that'd be great. Again, obviously they want me on the London card. So who else is there? Who would be another fight? I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Would it possibly one more and carried off next year? Do you know what I mean? I hear rumours of going back to the stadium. That'd be another dream of mine. Do you know what I mean? So,
that would be crazy.
But yeah, that'd be. Carried off in that stadium would be the biggest moment of my career by a mile.
Yes.
By a mile. So I'd rather have carried off in that stadium than in London if I could pick, but I'd take him in here.
Yeah, you'll take it as it comes. Yeah, exactly. but I just have one last question for you, Scott, because there was a lot of talk about the craziness that happened at the weigh-in. From what I hear, some hooligans tried to get in at the start. The police cleared them. Then some managed to get in at the very end, and they were throwing pigs trotters and they were wearing balaclavas. From what I hear, they were a rival supporters club to the team that Christian Kajabowski supports. He obviously fought Roberto Saldich in the main event. But initially, you guys were meant to be the main event, right? And they changed it around just in case anything popped off.
Yeah. You've pretty much just said it all in that statement. You know what I mean? Like, there's not really much more to say on it. Like,
As far as
I'm aware, no one got hurt.
I just
think they came in making a bit of noise, as far as I'm aware, that all my friends and family were in there, do you know what I mean? So
wow.
I'll ring in them to make sure they were all right. But they were all wearing Union Jack and England flags and everything like that.
I'd say it was worrying when it happened, you know, like when they come in and you don't know what's going on. I'd say that was scary, you know.
Yeah, but I'd rather not take that away anything away from KSW.
Oh, you know, no, like, no
what,
way.
What I'm trying to say is it was an isolated incident. No one got hurt or anything, and I don't want a little incident like that to overshadow what KSW are doing. I mean, KSW are a great event, and I don't want people to hear that and think anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand.
I don't think it's
KSW's fault as much as it's these guys, obviously, hooligans jumping in.
Yeah, but obviously they switched the fight round, and I won't bother that. We fought earlier, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm glad that everyone was okay in your crowd and everything like that. I think it was dealt with at the time, and I don't think it's a bad reflection on KSW. I just think these things happen, right? These bad eggs are everywhere. But Scott, what a win. Absolutely amazing resurgence in your career. I think it's been amazing to watch how much you've developed since the UFC. I think you're a completely different fighter, and I can't wait to see what they do with you next, my friend.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Me too. I mean, it's exciting. Like I say, it's exciting times. I want to sit down and enjoy the moment, and then sit with my agent and see where we go.
Brilliant, Scott, man. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Nice one.
All
nice one,
man.
Bye, appreciate bye. That. Thank you. All right, Bill. See you, mate.
Great to hear from Scott there. I don't think he was too happy with me asking about that whole the hooligan thing towards the end. And look, I left it till the end of the interview because I didn't want to overshadow what an amazing win that was. But look, it seems like, you know, it was a situation that was handled. We've spent enough time in it now anyway. Yeah. What a fantastic win for Scott. I was in hell last week, no. You know I was.
I got some ferociously bad audio notes from you. It was quite disturbing when you're trying to have a pint of Guinness.
I went out on Thursday with the dog, bit of exercise in, And I was like, oh, I'll get the...
Basically, right, this is the story. Elaine has him on a diet. He goes, oh, I'm going to go walk the dog. And he goes out and gets a big feed of food. And he's getting punished.
No, I was like, got a wrap in the shop. And I went back and I ate it. And soon after, it was departing my body from...
All angles.
All angles, man. And it was like water. It's rough. Mean, I'm not talking Anderson Silva like water here. I'm talking about brown water.
Brown water. Do you remember that up in Belfast? Brown water. What are you giving me this brown water for?
Brain. Man, I was in a heap. It's actually like, I've had some pretty serious illnesses in my time. And that was worse than any of them.
It's something about bad food poisoning that it's just like, I remember very much so, it's only about literally 3 years ago.
The fever it gives you, like, you're nearly hallucinating and you're going mad.
Unbelievable. Like, I had a burrito and literally 4 hours later, I'm like, oh man, what's wrong with me here? Just sitting there like something that's just lodged in your gut. And by the end of the night, I was on the floor crying, drinking water, puking and shitting, head in the B-day, arse was just like red raw, projectile vomiting all over the wall, lying on, you know, cold tiles just get any sort of relief.
I had the cold shiver, so I was the opposite. I was trying to like heat myself up, like I was wrapping myself in blankets and piss and sweat.
But that's, yeah, it was happening both ways. Like, yeah.
I had the ensuite right beside my bed. Elaine, of course, went to the spare room, fair play. But, I was like just sliding into that fucking bathroom Then when I tried to go asleep, see, I always meant to cover 1FC in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had to get onto to Brian and I was like, Brian, man, I am not like lying here. I am in a seriously bad way. Lucky, of course, the Brazilian beast, picked up for me and did it. What a fucking legend he is, Guilherme. But, I was in hell, man. Like,
there's nothing worse than it's right up there with the worst sentences you can have with sweet poison. I've had a few doses of it. Oh God, man. God.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, I got a, man, I don't know.
Did you drink a lot of water?
Yeah. Like you said, it's the best. You just said, just get it out. Just
cause it's going to come out one way. Just literally what I do.
Everyone was saying just stay away, just take painkillers and just drink water. That's it. Don't take Imodium because you just get it out of you. Yeah. Just get it out of you.
Imodium will clog you up for an extra day.
Yeah. Oh, and then Saturday obviously was KSW and I was thinking like after cutting this promo, I can't call in sick today. Like I can't say like I'm not able, but lucky enough, it is one of them things like when it's gone, you start feeling like very much better. Like,
yeah, too much better. And then you go out and drink a lot of piss and you're like, oh no, what have I done?
Then you have to record a podcast on Monday and you're in a heap. But, yeah, man,
it's tough.
Very rough day. Like, well, it was actually 2 days. It was Thursday and Friday and just,
I think I'm coming down with something as well. It's a bit nasty dose going on.
Elaine has it, the cough and everything. Yeah.
And all that. And my chest was killing me and sorry, I actually was having a heart attack, which could have possibly been the case as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm off tomorrow now, so I'm happy. I'm about 4 days in the Bames there. I literally got up an hour's cape last night. I stayed up, watched the golf. Well done, Brooks Koepka.
No idea who any of these people are.
So he won the USPGA Championship. And then I got to bed. I kept just waking all night and sweating and stuff as well. Oh. So it's not a good sign. And I was up at like quarter to five this morning. Just tired, man. I
hope you're off tomorrow, yeah?
I am. Yeah, thank God.
Fantastic.
I'm chill.
Lads, I know it's been a bit of a disjointed episode because we have nothing to preview for next week. But thank you so much to our fantastic guest, Leon Edwards, who always gives us a great time. What a guy. Scott Ascom.
I wouldn't give you any time.
Scott Ascom and Roberto Solich, the KSW champions. Thank you so much, lads. Thanks to you, Noel. And thanks to water. Christ. Thank you.
Wait, to microphones. Wait, I stop recording this.
Thank you to pizzas. It's
a different story.
Thank you to food poisoning. Thank you to food poisoning because I've lost 10 pounds and I feel fantastic.
You've lost 10 pounds.
I lost 3.5 kilos.
I know you probably would. It does.
Yeah.
Knock the bollocks.
Elaine was kind of pissed off. She was like, "What? How much weight do you lose? I'm going down to get some of that egg mayonnaise."
Girls go, "Oh, good food boys, I wish I was sick."
Yeah.
No, you don't. And then imagine if they were sick. Jesus, you wouldn't hear the end of it.
I don't know. I think we're worse, man. Like,
shut up. You're not supposed to say
that. No, when Elaine gets sick, she's like a fucking arm. Like, she's like a marine.
You're not supposed to say that, though.
Get out of here.
This unsaid secret.
They are harder. Like, they are harder people.
Shut up.
I'm not messing, man. They're not. Like, she kind of makes, like, if Elaine got that sickness.
You just ruined, it's like Santa. Like, you're not supposed to say these things.
It's like, when that's why they call it man flu, because we ham it up.
Yeah, I know, but like, we still have to deny that. We're tougher on the outside.
He is, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, he's playing it's hockey over here like that John Elliott, lad, don't you?
Don't mention it. He's been doomed. You should see the messages. He's been calling me, he thinks I look like an ape. On he's sending me pictures of, what's he call it? A Sasquatch.
Oh.
And I think he looks like a little chimp.
Right,
and he looks like a bit like Bran as well from Game
of Thrones.
He
does look a bit like Bran.
So he's just, look at this, like, look at the, I know you guys can't obviously see this, but, like, look at all
a lot of messages.
It's just, this is all today. This is like, not even, this is when I was in work and shit earlier on, like, look. It's two kids, he's a stupid boy.
Well, look.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I see he made the girls team for Leinster. That's great.
Yeah, fair play to him. Yeah. Running around playing, what do they call it, Quidditch or whatever.
Well, look, we are talking absolute brown at this stage. We better go.
Before Pete gets fucking food poisoning.
We're sick as pigs. We're tired. We're unemotional. And
thank fuck there's no MMA this
week. We need some time off, man. We're going mental. So yeah, talk to you soon. Thanks very much for your continued support. And
he's gonna say, yeah, but wankers you are in.
Yeah, I'm gonna
defend it, will you?
Go full Al Shadi, as they say. See you next week, love yous.